It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. And it's morning, Monday morning, and of course that means for Compassion Radio, this is our Chasing the Word series. We're in the book of John chapter 10 this week. All of chapter 9 was chock full of an incredible story of a man who received a miracle that no one in history had ever received, and that was to have his sight when he had never had sight before. So from the moment he was born, he was blind, now he has sight. And he's perceiving things in ways that are astute, are wise, and are adult.
Well, it seems like his mind was also opened when his eyes were open. He began to see truth and the reality of who Jesus Christ was.
The conversion of the soul, we would say, in evangelical side of things in Christianity, is about the enlightenment, the opening of our eyes and our hearts to the truth. And truth, as we've said many times here, matters. It matters more than ever, especially in societies that are turning their backs on it. And sadly, how many in the church are choosing to turn their backs on truth at times in pursuit of something?
And their own truth.
Out of their own fear, turning away from the truth that has always been right there in front of their faces. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says to those who claim to know the truth but don't follow it, it's right in front of your nose and you can't see it. And that's what we have to turn to the Word again, to be reminded of who he really is. What is Jesus calling us to? What is it to follow Jesus? Discovering that fresh is wise.
Right.
And in our generation, we need to get back to basics for sure. Mm-hmm. And we're in, the chapter 10 of John, and we're going to start on verse 1 there.
John chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. I just want to say, this is Jesus speaking at this point.
The red letters.
Mm-hmm. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. That is such a powerful verse.
Yes.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Again, a division took place among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, he has a demon and he's crazy. Why do you listen to him? Others were saying, these aren't the words of someone demon-possessed. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?
What a great breaking point for the chapter. Mm-hmm. This half of chapter 10 and all of chapter 9 are about this big question. Can God do not just healings, but can God do the impossible? And can he do it through a person?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is doing all these things. It keeps adding up. He gets more and more aggressively creation-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
He focuses on what he's created and brings out the very best of it and starts over if necessary.
Yeah.
And he's doing that in this man's life, but he's also bringing to life something that has always been there. It's like this hidden world, this mystery all around us, and suddenly we've stepped across a veil and we never knew all these wonderful things
right.
were right there with us.
Right.
And Jesus, as he walks around, seems to be like that. Life follows in his wake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's like an icebreaker breaking through an ocean that has never been penetrated before. People are seeing new things.
Mm-hmm. The status quo is to be blind from what Jesus is saying. Mm. At the end of chapter 9, he says, if you had said, we don't see or we can't see or we're blind, then you would understand. You wouldn't have sin. But because you say, I get it, I see, your sin remains. Yeah, because it's a mindset. It's not just about our physical eyes. It's about our spiritual eyes. The people around him somewhat are getting confused by what Jesus is saying, and especially the leadership. They just want to be right.
They don't want to be. They assume they are.
Well, they just want to have their words out there and their opinions to be the most important.
Yeah. At the beginning of the chapter, the very first illustration he uses in shifting from "you are so blind" to "what I am," he contrasts who he is as a shepherd to their blindness as philosophers and rulers. Mm-hmm. And the first thing he says is, the shepherd knows his sheep and the sheep know the shepherd.
Right.
And he can lead them in, he can lead them out. Remember that a pen, a place where they're kept at night, is for their safety for a time, but it's also an isolation chamber. Sheep can't survive all their lives in a pen. We react negatively when we hear about farmers that lock up their animals and never let them out in the sunshine because it's easier for them just to feed them through a hose or something and then factory farm them until they end up on our plate. We rightfully know that that's probably not fair to the animals to force them to suffer constantly just so we can have a cheaper piece of chicken. There are things in this world that are viewed as simply as tools for other things. And when that includes living people, then something is way off and the moral compass is broken. And Jesus is bringing that to light. I am, he says, what, about 20 times here?
Right,
but which is, again, I am statements. He's not saying, I'm the kind of guy who. He's saying, I am, semicolon, and then the next statement. It starts with God, the great I am. I am, and then join something to that, which is a compound now. If we want to know who Jesus is, it is I am along with these things I can touch and see with my own eyes and hands. That, to me, is what is happening with all these I am statements. It always follows with something that Jesus does, is, and demonstrates. So anytime you see an I am statement, especially in the red letters, you're seeing God saying, this is what truth, reality is with flesh on. You've seen it. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
It's interesting, too, how Jesus says, the one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I'm coming straight at you. I'm not going around the back. I'm not trying to sneak in and around. I'm coming straight at you. I'm coming through the front door and telling you these things. I'm speaking truth right here, right out in the open. He's making it very clear that he's not afraid to just put himself out there. Yeah. And he goes on to say, I am the doorkeeper of truth.
I am the door itself.
I am the door itself. Through me comes all the truth that you ever need or that you're ever going to have available to you.
What are your needs when you're inside the pen? You need that door to be closed and solid so that nothing else can get in. When you have a need to eat and to get a drink of water in the morning or go take care of your business, you need that door to open for you. The door has utility to me based on what my needs are right then. Jesus is saying, I know what your need is. At nighttime, I can keep you safe. In daytime, I can make sure you make it to the pasture to get breakfast. I know what you need. And I'm doing the thing. I exhibit the very qualities you need at the moment you need them. Not because he's a great concierge in the sky, but because he knows our needs and he cares for us. So when he says, I am these things, God's saying, as close as that creaky gate that you're used to hearing every morning, that's me in your life. As close as the sound of raindrops hitting those blades of grass outside, you hear God at work when you decide to let God be at work around you and show himself.
Jesus talks about how others that came before him tried to sway the sheep to follow them. I'm sure many did. Many followed these false messiahs that had come years before Jesus.
I think it's a messiah word we're looking for here. It's not just prophets. He's not saying every other prophet was false.
Yeah.
He's saying those who came in the name of God to be a liberator. All those showed themselves to be false because they could not. And then he says something different about himself.
So there's an inference in verse 8 that the sheep didn't listen to him, that it's the true sheep.
Yeah.
The sheep that really belong, the sheep that really trust, didn't listen. So who are the other sheep?
Sheep of convenience, maybe.
Perhaps. Or I want to say the leadership in the synagogues, these Pharisees who went this way and that way and whatever gave them the most power. They don't hear the true voice of the true Messiah. They're listening for whatever tickles their ears. And we have a struggle with that in today's church as well. I think that we listen to the things that satisfy our own political bent or our own personal freedoms, we want to call it. We don't listen oftentimes to the hard truth that causes us to shift our thinking, that changes the paradigm, because those things can get us in trouble. those things can get us excommunicated, if you will, from the powerful.
I think of a number of times I've seen in social media and on TV in the past couple of years, people being mocked by others for, quote, being sheep.
Mm-hmm.
When people who are acting out of conviction will do things that will cause them to be ridiculed if necessary, but they're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about wearing masks or getting the vaccination against COVID. There are lots of things in our lives where we know in our heart that to go this way is going to bend, we're pulled, we're pushed. And I grieve for that because the sheep who want to remain faithful and follow their shepherd and see God at work around them in circumstances and places everywhere, not just in their tribe, in their camp, hear other voices speaking into them that say, you're a fool to be a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has just spent 15 verses here saying, there's nothing better than to be a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me.
Yeah,
I am a good shepherd.
Exactly.
And whether we think we are sheep or not, we're going to be a sheep to somebody, a liar or to a truth teller. And I think back to the garden. What was it about the serpent's appeal to Eve that seemed to sway her? Because it wasn't just his logic. She had to know his voice enough to let him in close to hear what he had to say, which tells me that he worked really hard at being a really good deceiver. Yeah. Maybe the first sound she heard of him approaching sounded like the Savior walking in the garden each night. Maybe they sounded identical at first. I don't know. But by the time they got into the conversation, she started hearing things that were not the same as she had heard before, and now she's confused.
Close enough to what she'd heard.
And by the time the whole conversation is over, she isn't speaking anymore, she's just doing.
Mm-hmm.
She's following. She's being a sheep to a lie teller.
Mm-hmm.
And then the husband comes, and he gets sucked into the lie and the cover-up. And then, of course, the truth comes out, and we see in this great metaphysical story how God interacts with us when we fail. When we choose to follow lies and then have to confront the truth again.
Mm.
So there's a great consequence, of course. I wonder how many people really haven't heard Jesus' voice for a while. They've heard a lot of other voices, a lot of other mockings, a lot of other crassness, a lot of other derision.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't really heard the still small voice of the Spirit of God himself saying, you are mine, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And if we haven't for a while, and we feel like we're getting nothing but loud, clashing, banging cymbals all around us, remember every time in the scripture those things are described, they're described as being ways of obfuscating and alienating us from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to choose at that moment to be still.
Jesus says, a thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I look at things that are happening in our world today that are being killed and destroyed and stolen from us. It's relationships, it's conversations.
And civility.
And civility. And those things are being ripped away from us by a thief. A thief that is stirring up divisions and is stirring up hate and anger with brothers.
And justifying it.
And justifying it. And that's not what Jesus says.
Mm-mm.
Jesus says, I have come so that you may have life.
Yeah.
And have it in abundance. And that's here and now, not sometime off in the future. That is a thing that we can claim and own right now, this abundant life.
Yeah.
And if we spend our time looking for an argument or debunking someone's Facebook post, that's not life abundant.
Yeah.
That's turmoil and chaos and clanging cymbals, like you just said. Jesus also says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
For this season of our lives, we're living with our eldest daughter and her husband here in Idaho while we get ready to build a home.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in an RV next to their house, and every morning we kind of try to sneak into the house to go use the bathroom and get started for the day. I go through the garage, and the garage door going into the basement has a squeak to it.
It does.
For the first month or so that we've been here, every time that door squeaks in the morning, the dogs upstairs know that is not normal.
Right.
And they bark up a storm, come running down the stairs. And as soon as they hit the bottom step, they say, oh, it's you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank heavens. Because they were so scared they had an intruder. That happened like the first month.
Mm-hmm.
When the door pops like that, the squeak happens, it's not normal. It jars them. I learned to open the door in a certain way where they understand my rhythm. And I kind of push through the door a little bit more gently, and it creaks a little bit, but there's more of a sucking sound. But it's my opening of that door. They don't even bother to get up anymore when I walk in the mornings through that door.
Mm-hmm.
They've recognized who I am. They know that I'm on their team, and I'm protecting them, and that I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I love these dogs.
Yes.
They're wonderful. I think we're talking about a personal signature here, too. Jesus says, you know the sound of me. You know the sound of my footsteps when I enter the room. You know how I swing the door. You know how I whistle to you in the morning to wake you up. You know, our eldest daughter was telling a story just yesterday of a teacher in her kindergarten, a dear friend of ours, and remembering some of the most important things about her kindergarten year, how she would whistle coming down the hall, and that the kids recognized her voice and would light up before she even came in the room because they knew that Miss Anderson would be there shortly. There was something about the spirit of that person.
Yeah, beautiful spirit.
For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay. Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Let's read this same passage now from the Dynamic Gospel.
Chapter 10, verse 1. And by the way, this is our gift to you from Compassion Radio for your support of the ministry. And of course, our Bible study is available to you on our website for free, absolutely free, in our podcast section on each of our Monday morning program pages. Just follow that link for a download. Here's chapter 10, verse 1. How do I get this across to you? If you find someone sneaking over the wall into the livestock pens, he's not there to tend his own livestock. It doesn't take a detective to figure out he's a thief or a rustler. The one who holds the keys to the gate owns the sheep. The hired help hear a familiar jangle of locks and open the door for the owner, and the livestock themselves know the sound of the owner's voice. They'll follow him right out the gate into the light of day. When it's time to move the animals to fresh pasture, all the shepherd has to do is lead. The sheep follow. The animals are perceptive enough to follow the familiar sounds of the shepherd's footsteps as he walks the path. The sheep don't follow a stranger. Unfamiliar voices and sounds scare them right off. The stranger can cajole, plead, or holler. It makes no difference. He'll just scatter the sheep instead. This simple little parable was meant to explain Jesus' relationship to his students and followers. Perhaps it was too early in the morning to focus, but the underlying message was lost on the crowd. So Jesus said, "Okay, let me put this to you another way. And pay attention this time. For the sheep, the difference between a crowded pen and the open pasture is the gate. I am that gate." The sheep are fairly safe in the pen, but there's no real freedom. Others come saying they know the way out, but they're all liars and thieves, stealing a sheep or two at a time. But the owner's sheep would never willingly follow a strange voice. The pen may be secure, but there's no safety in starving. The sheep have to eat sometime. I am the safe way out of the crowded darkness to the fresh grass and blue sky. I can lead them back and forth, to and fro, safely.
I love that.
You want to find the best feed? Follow me. No matter what he says, the rustler has no good plans for the sheep. He's hungry or greedy. He takes what is not rightly his. As for the stolen sheep, there's never a good end to the story. I came to do just the opposite, leading the sheep to solid nourishment, to make them happy and fruitful. Even sheep can understand the simple enjoyment of a full stomach and the warm sunshine. I am the shepherd's shepherd. You need a good model of caring for the sheep? Just look right here. My very soul is invested in caring for them. It's my high calling. The hired help act like shepherds when things are easy. Throw a little danger in the mix, and they'll run like the wind. Every howling coyote sends them right back to the safety of their campfire. If there's any real danger to the sheep, they'll just have to find out about it in the morning. If the sheep are scattered or mauled, so be it. I'm off the clock, they'll say. If the hired help don't give a flying flip about the animals, they're not going to risk anything to save them. But I am the shepherd's shepherd. I'm here for the sheep. You see how they follow me, and they know they can trust me to lead them away from danger. It's natural, after all, that they should do so, for I follow my own shepherd faithfully. I've learned my Father's voice and follow him everywhere he wants me to go. I know his heart, and he knows mine. How could I not lay down my life for my sheep? And there are many more sheep yet to be found. It's going to take some work to expand the pens and gather them all up. It is imperative that I do so, for they all need a safe place too. Then I'll call them in, and there will be one universal safe flock under my care. The sheep that hear my voice and follow it are the true flock. They have one shepherd and one shepherd only. This is how I make my Father proud. I'm willing to risk my life so that real life can come to the sheep. What I lay down for a while, I will eventually pick up and never lose again. No one will ever strip anything out of my hands, whether my sheep or my life. It's for me to choose how I will serve and sacrifice for them. If I choose to lay down my life, it's my prerogative, and in my chosen time. If I choose to set aside death and take up a glorious life, that's mine as well. I got the sober instruction directly from my Father, and it's binding. The religious leaders and theologians erupted in argument again over what Jesus was saying. We're telling you the man is possessed, some asserted. Only a madman would claim such things. What gall! Others were still shocked by the recent miracles. He's no madman. He speaks plainly and convincingly. He's not a drooling freak. And how can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
I'd like to focus, if it's all right with you, on the part of the scripture where Jesus talks about his other flock. I was thinking about that and what Jesus might be talking about. It has always confused me when he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold and I must bring them in also. And I noticed that there was a reference to the book of Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. And it's God speaking. And he says, for thus says the Lord God, I myself will search my sheep and seek them out as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered. So I think this is talking about the diaspora that has gone out from this area of Judea, but also those that they have influenced about Judaism, possibly.
Yeah.
And they're teaching, or they're bringing their religion out and away from this hub of Judaism. Maybe Jesus is referring to the treks of the disciples that will happen after he's gone.
Yeah, I've always wondered how much Jesus identifies specifically with just saving the Jews, because we hear a lot about this. I came to save those who are here, not the ones on the outside. Mm-hmm. I am the Jew's Jew, is what he's saying. But we all know, too, that we have no religion whatsoever in Christianity if we are not born Jew, if that's the only thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have understood that after a certain time, the Holy Spirit himself opened the gates again. Peter saw the visions of the food that was unclean coming down from heaven and being told to go up, pick and eat. You're one of them now. Mm-hmm. Do the things and follow me wherever I lead you, not just to your people. But there is something to be said about the diaspora all around the world at the time, having brought the seed of the truth with them. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be places, I'm sure, where even from the Old Testament, the truth, the seeds were dropped on good soil. Mm-hmm. And of course, the only Bible that the apostles had to work from was the Old Testament. So that's the Bible they used.
Well, it reminds me of the story of Apollos in the book of Acts and how he came from far away and he had a seed of the truth. Mm-hmm. He spent time with Priscilla and Aquila and they expanded on the truth for them and taught them more about Jesus and how it was woven into the stories throughout the Old Testament, which is probably what he had the most access to. Maybe that's kind of what Jesus is referring to as well, in that there will be those who come and have a seed of the truth, like you said, and they will be gathered in. Ezekiel says they will feast on the pastures of Israel.
And if Jesus is talking about places he's never going to set foot on in his lifetime on this earth, it does mean this is past resurrection. Beyond that, these things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he just finished saying the things I can and will do. If I want to lay down my life, I'll lay it down. If I want to pick it up again, I'll pick it up again. And then this. Mm-hmm. So when he says, I'm going to go find these sheep, he knows how he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And he's going to be doing it in the hearts and in the feet and in the words of people that are inhabited by his spirit, mm-hmm. as much as him being physically present. Mm-hmm. In fact, he says it's much better that I go away, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, comes to you and gives you what you need because, man, I got big plans for you. Yeah. And we'll read more about that later in the book. But friends, we got to wrap up our time together today on Compassion Radio. This Chasing the Word series is available to you in print form. The scripture we've read through, including the questions that go along with that to prompt some good conversation among friends, and the version of the book of John called the Dynamic Gospel we're reading from in the second half of our program is available to you as well in each Bible study. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or make your gift through our website, CompassionRadio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.